Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In For Life, the podcast. This is episode 300. This episode is supported by Embryo Solution. If you're navigating infertility, and I'm so sorry if you are, have you ever thought about embryo donation as a family building solution? Embryo donation is when one family that has gone through IVF donates their embryos to support the family building efforts of another family. And Embryo Solution is an agency with an important mission to fill the gap between infertility and excess embryos by connecting all parties involved. Embryo donation costs approximately 30% less than traditional IVF. Embryo Solution is an inclusive agency working with single parents, couples in committed relationships, LGBTQ+ families, and more. With Embryo Solution, you are able to choose between an anonymous and an open relationship with the donor family. Plus, Embryo Solution ships the embryos to the clinic of your choice. So whether you're looking to build your family, or you've gone through IVF and you have embryos in storage that you're not sure what to do with, Embryo Solution can help. To find out more, go to embryosolution.com. Again, that's embryosolution.com. Thanks, Embryo Solution. This podcast is sponsored by Receptiva DX. Receptiva DX is a powerful test that has helped thousands of women who've experienced recurrent pregnancy loss or IVF failure. The test helps detect inflammatory conditions of the uterus that might be preventing you from becoming pregnant or staying pregnant. The most common underlying condition of a positive Receptiva DX test is endometriosis, with or without symptoms. If you or someone you know has struggled with IVF, Receptiva DX may give you the answer and treatment protocols you're looking for. Talk with your doctor about Receptiva DX because the journey is worth it. Don't let uncertainty overshadow your fertility journey. Explore the possibilities and talk to your medical team about Receptiva DX today. The best part? InfertileAF listeners get a special discount, so make sure to ask for the test and use code INFERTILEAF24 for $75 off. Again, that's code INFERTILEAF24 for $75 off the Receptiva DX test. Thanks, Receptiva DX. Before we start, I just want to thank you all so much for listening for all these years. I launched this podcast in 2019, telling my own story. And over the years, I have met the most incredible people and told the most incredible stories. And I can't thank you all enough for not only sharing your stories, but for listening. This is a very special episode, so stay tuned. Guys, so for the 300th episode, I thought it would be very cool to share some of my conversation with comedian and actress Michelle Buteau.
Well, we were super long distance for a while, New York to Amsterdam, and we were in love, we were engaged, we would talk about kids, but we had no idea how that would happen. And we were even like, oh man, we're gonna get married and have, you know, us time before we really start trying,
right?
And we didn't even know sort of that there would even be an issue for us, because like no one has ever had an issue in our family that like at least we know of, because again, people don't talk about stuff. And now I realize why people don't talk about stuff, because no one knows what to say. And it's like, ooh, that's a horrible answer. I'm trying to have a kid. Well, maybe you should lose weight. I'm sorry. You're not a doctor. Stop. Oh. Well, we're trying to have a kid. Well, if you worked less, if you know, you just wouldn't be as stressed. And it's like, wow, you're stressing me.
Yeah. Were those actual things that people said to you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And were those your responses?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a very sharp tongue. And so I can really hurt someone's feelings. And usually I take it out when I'm doing stand up and someone heckles me. And I'm like, this is a really good place to let you know that I'm a professional and you're not. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of that. And I think it really hurt when my parents did it to me. My dad would say, you know, you're having wine. That's, ugh. He was trying to show me articles that he's found. And I just had to say to him, you know, I think a year or two in, it's all a blur. I was like, if you want me to still talk to you, you can't be giving me this unsolicited advice.
Right.
You just have to love me. You just have to say, I'm sorry, baby, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
This will happen. So it was not only a journey, you know, with my body and my emotions and just a physical journey. And then like even between my husband and I, where we like would try to find joy, you know, trying to get pregnant. It was also like a thing with family members and friends where I'm like, wow, I didn't even know you were that much of an asshole. One of my friends tried to hit me with, why do you even want to have your own kid? The world is full enough of people. And I'm like, goodbye forever.
Really?
Yes. And she also said, you should just try and adopt.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I didn't know you were the accountant for my life. But listen, we tried to adopt. We went to 3 different agencies and we would get deep into our application after spending money on different parts of the application for them all to say, if you're still trying to have children on your own, then we can't move forward.
Really? I've never heard that before.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what every adoption agency does, but we were looking at third world countries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know if the rules are different. I would just assume so. And I just kind of gave up because I'm like, I am tired and this wall is getting higher and higher.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know I read somewhere, tell me if this is true, that your mom gave you health insurance once for Christmas.
Yeah, it's true. I was just like a broke comedian just going to Planned Parenthood. Thank you so much for my PAP and just doing whatever I need to do when I need to do it. The annual checkup.
And well, that's a nice gesture.
It is. I mean,
did it put the pressure on even a little bit more?
No, I mean, I wasn't even trying. I wasn't even thinking about trying to get pregnant when she set me up with health insurance. My dad worked in insurance all his life, and so she was like, "This is an abomination. You need insurance."
Right.
When she did that, it was just like months later, I stopped getting my period. And I'm like, I think I'm pregnant. But I took a bunch of tests and I wasn't. And I was like, this is weird. And so I made an appointment and found out that I had this high level of prolactin. And the doctor said, well, either you have a cyst on your ovary or a benign tumor on your pituitary in your brain. And I was like, wow, thank you so much for these cool choices.
Right.
And so that's what happened. And then I was like, oh, this is, you always hear those stories of people that don't go to the doctors because they think that they're going to get sick. And I'm like, oh, this is what happens when you get health insurance. But I'm really glad I had it. You know, I was like, just don't buy me any more gifts that I don't ask for.
Exactly. So what happened with the tumor?
She's still there.
Okay.
She's still there making an appearance. I take medication to shrink her and to regulate my period. And yeah, that's sort of why we found out later that I could get pregnant, but couldn't stay pregnant.
Okay. And it was all tied back to the tumor and the pituitary?
Yeah. Because when you have prolactinoma, a high level of prolactin, your body thinks it's pregnant. So...
Oh.
You know you're very far along and your tumor is getting bigger if you start to get blind. Also, you start to lactate. Just weird things. Your feet and your hands get bigger. It's a wild ride.
Wow. And that was happening to you?
It was happening to me. And I just sort of try to figure it out and live with it for a couple of years before we started having baby, trying to have a baby. Because I, again, would go to forums and people were like, I got pregnant on my own. I just had like, you know, maca in my smoothies and lavender on my pillow. So I was like, okay, I'm going to goop this up. I'm going to eat the pineapple with cayenne. I'm going to do all those things. And none of it worked. And it was IVF. Like everyone, every person I went to, every doctor I went to, they're like, you just need something stronger. And so I think I did an IUI. What is it?
Yeah. IUI.
Yeah. Oh God. It seems like another life now. Tried IUI a couple times before and then just went full on IVF and was like, wow. I mean, I really feel for in this circumstance during a pandemic, what that must be like right now to, because you plan everything out, you know, like if you're so excited to have a baby, just even the chance that you could, and you're spending all this money, you're doing all these things and people have walked out of the office pregnant and walked home from a hospital with a baby or whatever. You're like, oh, this is my moment. We're going to finally have this family. And then you start looking at the calendar. You're like, when's the birthday going to be? If my transfer is this time and I'll be pregnant this time. And you're like, oh my God, the baby's going to be a Capricorn. And you start doing all these things. And I can't even imagine these poor women going through this right now, and they're just like, it's just on hold indefinitely. That's so crazy. And even going to the doctors 3 times a week, spreading your legs, getting poked, getting your blood drawn, and then you walk down the New York City street and some guy has the audacity to say, smile, why aren't you smiling? And I want to be like, are you sick? I am bleeding from every part of my body right now, and I'm hopped up on hormones. You fucking smile. Anyways.
So what was, I know this was, all this stuff was really messing with your hormones. What was it doing to you like emotionally?
Oh, emotionally, I was a wreck. I mean, I just didn't know it because, you know, people think I have the flair for the drama. I don't think so. I think I'm just honest with what I'm going through in the moment always. Mm-hmm. And I have to be. Otherwise, I feel like I'm sinking, you know? I feel like I'm always coming up for air. And I was like, wow, this is the first time I really just try to be strong. For me and for everybody, it was the first time I really felt like I have to keep this to myself because I try to be open about it and everybody was a monster and they just sounded so stupid and it was so hurtful. So it was a lot. I mean, my husband would administer all my shots unless I was traveling and he'd drive me to every appointment because he wanted to be a part of the process as much as he could since I was sort of going through it all. And I remember, God, it was like week 2 or 3 and the progesterone was kicking in and he left a bunch of crumbs on the countertop making another sandwich. Like, I don't know who eats that much bread and cheese, but he's Dutch. And that's what they're made of.
Yeah.
And I usually clean it no problem, or he'll like wait till the next day to clean it. But someone always gets to it. And I don't know why that was the straw that broke the camel toe for me, but I was like, this is it. You don't care. I have to do X, Y, and Z. And I start to cry. And I'm like, I want a divorce. And I would like stomped upstairs and like slammed the door. And I was like crying. And then I took a shower. And I was like, oh, that was really crazy. And then I started laughing to myself. And I came downstairs. And he was just like on the couch. He's like, you okay now? I'm like, yeah. I think it might be the hormones. He's like, you think?
So it sounds like he was able to roll with it at least and know that that wasn't the true you.
For sure. For sure. And thank goodness for that. Because
is he pretty chill? Like, it sounds like
he's very chill.
And now we're going to hear from singer and all around badass, Christina Perry.
You know, I had therapy yesterday and my therapist said to me a really interesting phrase. She said, when was the last time you felt like the coast was clear?
Ooh.
That
just gave me the chills.
Right? Well, I'm sharing this because I just realized, so in my timeline, and what I'm sure we're going to get into talking about now, is I truly believe the last time, because it took me a while to come up with my answer for her. And I really think the last time I thought the coast was clear was when I was pregnant for the second time, which we can get into. And it was right before I miscarried. And it was New Year's Eve and we were in Disney World and it was beautiful. And I like feel as though I was a person before, and then I miscarried that second pregnancy and I've been a different person since. And I feel like, you know, to what you're saying, yes, I was, it was ignorance. It was beautiful. It was like, you know, you have your before and your after. And I just feel like it changes you so much when you go through this life stuff, whether it's miscarriage, whether it's stillborn, whether it's NICU, all these things I've now learned.
Yes.
They've changed me each time. And like, I can never go back. It's like, you know, AD and BC, like I just feel like it was time before, you know, and I was like, I was just blissful in a way that was like, everything's going to be okay. Everything's fine. And then, you know, it is what it is. And I deal with it every day and I'm learning to make sense of it, or learning to make beautiful things from it, or taking it and just, you know, trying to accept these things as like my new reality. But there really was a time when I was like, wow, you know, everything's fine. Totally. You know, here I am, I'm pregnant again. Like, exactly. Right. When I wanted to get pregnant. So I got pregnant in November of 2019. Carmela was a year and a half old. And this was like the dream I wanted.
Right. You're like, nailed it. Timed it perfectly.
I will say Paul and I tried for 3 months, maybe, just naturally trying. And, you know, I was trying to figure out, now this was also the first time I was like counting my ovulation and my days and my symptoms and my temperature. And I mean, I didn't get too like intricate with it. I just was like, okay, I think I'm ovulating this week. Like, let's try. And it took, I think, 2 or 3 months to do it, but I did get pregnant naturally. And, I was so happy. I just thought, okay, this is going to be exactly like the last time. Like, I just was so, you know, didn't even fathom it could be different, you know? And like, what's crazy too is like, we're, you know, there has been major progression in women's health, and we all know so much more about miscarriage and about, you know, statistics and about difficult, you know, situations and challenges. And I have friends who had IVF and all these things, but like, you still don't think it's going to happen to you.
Never.
You're just like, oh yeah, I have so much love and compassion for you and your story. And then it's like, but like, I'm pregnant and everything's fine.
Totally. Right. You know? Absolutely. And so, I think also, so I had 4 miscarriages between my daughter and my son. And it was the same. Well, for me, it was actually the first one. I was kind of like, I have a lot of friends who've had a miscarriage, you know, and it was not that I wasn't sad and devastated, of course, but it was kind of like, this is kind of the part of the thing. It's part of the deal. It's pretty common to have one, but then like 2 and 3 and 4, I was like, wait, what the fuck? What's happening here? Like, there's something wrong. So.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I had a very similar experience. I remember... So I was pregnant from, so I found out November 2019, and then I miscarried January 10th of 2020. And so right after that Disney World trip on New Year's Eve, we came home, and then I went in for my 10-week appointment at 11 weeks. We were a week late just from traveling. And so somewhere between 10 and 11 weeks, I miscarried. And I was escorted right to the hospital for a DNC, and it all happened very quickly. I mean, they asked if I wanted an autopsy, and I just said no, because I thought, this is so common. Like, so all of a sudden that voice came in my head that was like, this happens to one in four women. You know, I know women who have had miscarriages. It is really common. It's really unfortunate and awful, but it's not a sign that something's wrong. I kept trying to tell myself that, like,
100%.
This is part of what baby making season life is. You know, like, I was so similar in my, like, self-talk, like, it's going to be okay. I remember even thinking, we'll try again right away. Like, nothing scared me about it, because I was like, oh, I'm sure it's just a genetic abnormality. I like almost leaned more on the science. I was like, oh, first trimester miscarriage, you know, genetic abnormality, I'm going to move on. And I mean, obviously, again, I was also devastated and sad, and I ended up, like, getting a tattoo, writing a song about it, like, you know, doing things to, like, you know, to actually honor my grief. I really did grieve. But at the same time, I was not really thrown off my game necessarily. I was like, no, I still want to continue growing our family. And Carmela was so little, she was only just turning two. So she, and I wasn't even showing yet. I mean, I could see my little belly, but she couldn't. So, like, I feel like she totally missed it. So I didn't even feel that guilt, you know, because that guilt just kept getting worse and worse as we go on. But
absolutely.
Can I
ask you, how did the miscarriage, like, present itself? Were you bleeding, or was it you had the scan and there was no heartbeat, or how did you find out?
There was no heartbeat.
I'm so sorry. That's just the worst.
Thank you. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, I was, you know, rocked by that as well. I was, you know, excited, and, you know, it was just blindsiding. I mean, we had no signs of anything that was wrong. Not that anybody really does. And then I will say this, I learned later that if you miscarry after a heartbeat, that there's some cause. So if you miscarry before a heartbeat, it just most likely didn't develop for reasons that are unknown or unprovable. But my OB said to me later, when I was doing other research and learning about things, that after there's a heartbeat, there's normally a reason why something went wrong. But for a first-time person miscarrying, for a very sensitive little mama who just went straight to the ER to get a DNC, I'm not asking these questions. You know what I mean?
Of course not. Right. Like,
yeah. So I didn't even investigate that miscarriage until a year later.
Right. So later on, the blood clotting disorder that you have.
Yeah. All that
light.
Stuff. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Do you want to talk about that now, or what happened after the first miscarriage? Yeah.
I'll wait and
okay,
because I'm in, I don't want people also to think that, like, I was aware of that so fast. It really took me another miscarriage, or I should say, you know, a stillborn to alert me that something was wrong. So because of how common miscarriages, I didn't have all the red flags, right? I just had, I guess, a normal amount of red flags, which is something went wrong. It's not my fault. You know, I healed from the DNC. I waited a little while. I'm not sure Paul and I, we didn't actually try specifically to get pregnant again, because I wasn't sure I was ready. I had just taken birth control. This is really random, but I had a cyst grow on my ovary after that miscarriage. So when you get pregnant, every woman gets, like, this, like, cyst that grows that gives the progesterone, and then it eventually goes away around 13 weeks or so. And I guess I had grown that cyst that was giving progesterone to the baby, and then when I miscarried, my body didn't get the memo and kept growing instead of going away.
And now we're going to hear from Olympic figure skating icon, infertility badass mama, surrogacy mama, Tara Lipinski. When did you first see a fertility specialist, and what did they say?
So it was in 2018, going into 2018. So I just wanted to really find out about my fertility. And I go into that on the podcast of, you know, hearing a friend's story and then just being intrigued. And you know, wanting to know and make sure that everything was okay, because, you know, like I said, I definitely wanted children, just didn't know, you know, exactly when we were going to do it. So, you know, I went and, you know, started the process of doing an egg retrieval.
Okay. And how did it go?
It did not go well. We really struggled through that one, and we didn't get the results that we were wanting. You know, you want to walk away with embryos, and you just, you know, sometimes it's, you know, like IVF is not a guarantee. So we had to go into another cycle, and I did a back-to-back cycle. So
mm-hmm. yeah, we moved right. forward
there.
So you talked about how the first retrieval, you had zero genetically normal embryos. And I'm so sorry to get, you know, for anybody who gets that phone call, it's because it's such a mind fuck too. You're like, wait, I thought this was science and you're throwing all this money at it. And how could it not work? Right. Like, what was your reaction? Right.
Or it's just shocking. And then the fear of really wondering what is wrong? Does this, mm-hmm. you know, does this mean we have other issues? Mm-hmm. And I think, for me, it was just a big wake up call. It was like, oh boy, you know, right. you thought this wasn't something you were going to think about and have to worry about in your life. And you were just going to magically get pregnant. Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. So then you went right back into another retrieval cycle, right? And what happened with the second one?
That one, we got lucky. We got two normal embryos and we were so relieved and so happy just to sort of get to that next hurdle, which is, you know, at the time I thought we were going to be done with retrievals. But you know, getting past retrievals and, you know, knowing, okay, so we can make our own, you know, genetically normal embryos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And had endometriosis come into the conversation at all yet at this point or no?
I mean, I think I always suspected I had endo, you know, there were some symptoms, not the typical symptoms. I never had, you know, traditional or not traditional, classic sort of symptoms of, you know, cramping and heavy cycles. I just didn't have that. I had all, you know, my husband and I laugh that it's called butt pain, but I had, you know, these crazy stabbing pains that alerted me that I probably had endo. But again, I didn't do a lot of research and I thought, oh, that's a big, scary surgery. I'm not going to do that. So just live with it. And
right.
you know, so many doctors don't know how, I mean, it takes usually 10 years for people to be diagnosed with endometriosis. So I think, you know, along the way, doctors were probably just like, oh, like take an Advil. Right. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And also as an athlete, you know, obviously you trained so hard your whole life, you know, was it almost like you can deal with this? Like you're, you know, if it's anything physical pain, like kind of suck it up. Like, did you get that vibe at all? Or did you feel, put that pressure on yourself even?
I mean, I was used to a lot of pain as an athlete and, mm-hmm. you know, injuries, and I just, you know, always had found a way to kind of push through and cope through
yeah.
that type of pain. So for me, it was just like, oh, this is just what's part of my life. You know, it's sort of probably like when I hobble around as an athlete with an injury, it was like, okay, well, this is just part of the day. You got to get through it. So right. I definitely did. I mean, I feel for, you know, so many of the women that have, you know, debilitating pain
right.
with endo where they can't do that, you know, right. where right. they are struggling every single day. And my symptoms were not that. Obviously I did have symptoms and they got progressively worse. And I now struggle mm-hmm. with it more than I did from all these treatments. But I do think that, you know, whenever I do get a pain, I just think, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky because there are so many women with endo that maybe aren't getting that gold standard of, you know, mm-hmm. treatment, surgery, excision surgery, anything to relieve their pain. And they're living like this on a daily basis.
Right. When did you learn about the Receptiva DX test? Because I know you work with them on your show and they're one of my partners yes. as well. And I think that they're really doing innovative stuff. So when did that come into the landscape?
I really, you know, I was researching everything on this journey and I really wanted to be able to self-advocate and, you know, find every possible answer because unexplained infertility is, you know, it's such a crappy diagnosis. And, you
Absolutely.
Know, for me, you know, I followed on my account, the Egg Whisperer, Amy, Dr.
Yes,
Amy.
Yes, I love Dr. Amy.
I do too. And I think she is just, I mean, just an incredibly talented and, you know, kind mm-hmm. doctor mm-hmm. That really cares about spreading information,
yeah.
accurate information, and reaching out to people and helping them on this journey. And I think, you know, I followed a lot of her posts, and I remember at one of them said, you know, unexplained infertility, like keep asking, keep questioning your doctor, because there's usually an answer. Now it could be like a needle in a haystack, but it's there, that needle is somewhere. And who knows, maybe there's too many different combinations and variables and not enough tests out there to find it, but you know, make sure you check off all your boxes. So that's how I came across Receptiva DX. And especially with my endometriosis diagnosis, I realized how important it was to take that test.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So after the second round, you said you had two genetically normal embryos, a little girl and a little boy on ice, as you said, right?
On ice, which is like, it's like, I laugh now because I just truly think like, was this all like in the cards that I was supposed to like go from my ice skating career to getting, you know, embryos on ice?
Right. Exactly.
We did get them, and it was obviously, we were so grateful, because that's another thing, you know, going through this, I've been in sort of every situation possible.
Right.
So knowing that there are a lot of couples out there that struggle to make it to that point where they're able to get their own embryos, we obviously feel, you know, grateful.
Yeah. I think it's such a roller coaster of emotions, right? I mean, there's like such high highs and such low lows. I want to ask you about the mental aspect of this and just like mental health. And, you know, one of the things I think is so interesting is like, as an elite athlete, you know, gold medalist, all that stuff, all your life, you've worked really hard at something and you've achieved success, right? It's like hard work pays off. But with infertility, it's just one of those areas where it's not, the work does not equate with the results. And it's so hard to wrap your head around that. How was that for you, like mentally?
It was difficult, you know, because I like to work hard at things. And that's what my life consisted of for so long, you know, one singular dream and focus. And, you know, I'm type A, a little OCD, so I could definitely just like hone in on that. And that's what I wanted to do with this. And like you said, infertility, IVF, nothing's guaranteed. And it's your body that's in charge. It's just, you know, you're along for the ride. And that was something I had to, you know, I was always like counting on my calendar, trying to like map everything out. And I was like, you know, you start to go through this and you realize like IVF just plays, or infertility just plays, these cruel jokes on you, where it's just like, you can't count on anything. It's just whatever your body does that month.
Yeah. I think the lack of control too is so frustrating, because it's like, even the dates change or your body doesn't cooperate. Yes. So things get pushed around, and it's like, did you feel, you
said, to hope to start then? And, you know, it's, you know, anything that can go wrong goes wrong. I feel like, you know, so many women I talk to, it's the same thing. So it's not unique to me, but I just was like, oh my gosh, like, can anything go smoothly in this process?
No, I mean, I feel like with your story, you and Todd's story, you know, you did face so many different obstacles. Let's go through it a little bit more. So then what happened after? You did a third retrieval, right, in 2020?
We actually did a third and a fourth retrieval. And we go into podcast a little bit about what happened there, but we don't really kind of know. But we didn't have any success with either of those retrievals. And from there, then I realized, from that point on, we tried to get pregnant naturally. And then we did. It was our first time ever trying. Mm-hmm. But I obviously had a miscarriage, which was just, you know,
sorry,
devastating. And we found out it was a genetically normal embryo, which is, you know, even more confusing. And then, you know, a little bit alarming, because then you're in this smaller subset category of what else could it be? You know, it's like unexplained infertility, of course, what can it be? But then you're starting to get all these data points where you then are trying to figure out next steps.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. I cannot say enough about all the people who have come on the show, been vulnerable, shared their stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sad, the funny, the scary, the heartbreaking. It has been such a ride, and this is just the beginning. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I love you all.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.